be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. New beginnings. Well, here we are again, and one of the neat things about academic life, it's kind of like confession and absolution. We get to start all over again. New papers, new assignments, fresh start, although the GPA, we still have to grapple with that, but still, fresh start. And I guess that's what the text was all about today. New beginnings. Now, how should I begin this thing called salvation of the world? How should I go about seeing that the nations of the earth are blessed? God has a way of using and choosing people whom we would least expect and starting new beginnings at the strangest spots. One does not expect that one will start any new thing, radically new thing, at least in our society, with a 75-year-old man. Now, taken for granted that in those days genetics perhaps were different than they are today, and the age didn't mean the significance that it does in our fallen culture or our bodies that don't live that long as bodies used to live. But taking that into account, think of it. God starts with a 75-year-old man as though somehow it's going to be a big thing that he's going to do in the face of the earth. General Motors recently hired a 69-year-old man and got him out of retirement and said, "We want you to be in charge of new product development. Now, you have to have things go pretty bad for your company if you're finding somebody in retirement to say, lead us into the future." But Bob Lutz came out with a Pontiac Solstice, and if you've seen it, it is a sleek roadster. And Bob says, "I want to make GM products so that people are compelled to buy them. They can't wait, you see." Oh, we expect people like Walter Cronkite in his 80s to be the elder statesman of the newscasts, or Andy Rooney to keep talking as long as he's got his wit. But we don't expect Bob Lutz to be in charge of new product development at GM, because you just don't start there. But you see, that's the type of thing that God does. He starts with a 75-year-old man and an idolater, or seemingly idolater at that. Because God has a way of taking the irreverent and making it reverent, because it will be his way. He will do it his way, not our way. And that's the new beginning. It always depends on the grace of God. When God says through Joshua, God took this man named Abram and his father, who was an idolater, worshipped other gods. And God took him out, and God brought him and said, "I'm going to bless you." Because God has a way of taking the irreverent and doing that. When I was in eighth grade, my pastor said, "You should be a pastor." And I said, "You got to be kidding." We all have our stories of how God turns around and how God shapes life and how God ultimately has his way. And St. Paul says, "I'm the least of the apostles because I even persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And God's grace to me was not in vain." He takes the people whom you didn't expect and he works through them. But secondly, he promises the impossible. Abram is 75 years old, remember, and when people are married and they have not had children for, let's say, 50 years, one would say, "I will hear that God says, I will bless you and make you a great nation," and faith says, "Yes, Lord," and reason says, "It's a little late." Why, after couples have waited 4 or 5 years, they say, "I guess it's not going to happen. Maybe fertility pills. Maybe we should adopt." But for a man, 75 years old, with no kids, and God says, "I'm going to make you a great nation. And in you, all the people are going to be blessed on the face of the earth." It takes faith to believe that promise. And the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. God turned him around in his irreverence and called him and taught him the impossible would be possible, not because of Abraham, not because he was strong or wise or anything, but because God would make it so. And when Jesus said to the people, "You know, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you'd say to that mountain over there, 'Move,' and that mountain would move," we say, "But reason says mountains don't move." And reason says, this little man can never do that great task. And reason says, I won't even pray such a little, tiny, but voluminous prayer to God, you see. But Jesus says, you ask and you'll receive. You seek and you'll find. And you knock and the door is going to be open to you. Because with God, nothing is impossible. And the whole story of Abraham and the whole Genesis 12 and how it has radically changed the earth and how Abraham's name is even still a great name. People know it all over the face of the earth. Jews and Gentiles and Christians and even Islam. But the greatest, of course, is because through the seed the promise comes. And the promise that takes us out of death to life and out of irreverence to holiness. And out of just as we were to just as I am through the cross of my Savior Jesus Christ. Because faith believes beyond reason. Reason sees the present and says, I can only go this far. And faith says, no, God is God, and he takes the impossible, and he takes the irreverent, and he works with what he's got. When Paul says, the good I would, I don't do, and the evil that I would not do, who will deliver me? That's what I very do. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He was talking about the impossible. It is impossible, knowing myself and my sins and my irreverence toward God. It is impossible that anything could be done about that, you see. But with God, all things are possible. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world and suddenly made the impossible possible. But we are still people of reason, and we are still people of doubt, and we're still people of the present. And when 9-1-1 happens, we say, is God among us or not? Why are they prospering and we are not? What is going wrong with us? As the psalmist, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why isn't this all happening to us? You are our God. And after all, we're part of this great nation now that has been encompassed into the words of Christ and following under the umbrella of the justification which we have received and which we continue to receive through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because we are people of the present, God continues to come. And to Abraham, Abraham rises believing only the word of God because it's the word of God, because it's the voice of God speaking to Abraham. And so he rises and he goes to the land of Canaan. And because God knows that he's still a man, God comes to him and says, I'm going to give this land to your, as an inheritance to your seed someday. As though God had a secret which he could not keep any longer. But Abraham needed the secret because he's still a man. And because he lives by faith, but he still needs to hear the word of God. And he still needs to hear the voice of God. And so later on, God says to him, Abraham, it's going to be like the sands of the sea. In fact, God someday will even raise up stones. New people and graft them in, the Gentiles, so that the nation will not only just be Jewish people who believe in the Messiah, but it will be the whole, anyone who comes to faith in Jesus Christ and who believes that when they hear the voice of God, it is indeed the voice of God. And that's the new beginning. To your offspring I will give this land, says God, as the secret. The flesh always questions the blessing. Reason itself always concerns itself with the present. How awesome it is that God raises up stones for Abraham as sons of Abraham. How awesome it is that he works through people like us to effect God's ultimate salvation on the earth. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Beyond any temporary discomfort, the fruits of God's blessings happen. Blessing upon blessing, grace upon grace. Forgiveness in Christ upon forgiveness. And no one who has left father and mother for my name's sake shall not in this life not have fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and in the life to come. Eternal blessing. For far more important than the skill of a surgeon or the expertise of a security man is the gospel in the hand of one who hears his voice. And this is the new beginning. Not that the winter quarter is done and that's past, therefore we can move on to the new. The new beginning is to study the Word of God as though God himself were speaking. because he is. I'll make you a great nation, Abraham. The blessings will surely follow.